good evening and welcome to This Week in Football from the makers of Low Limit Football on the Beyond the Pitch and FNX Media Networks. I'm your host, Joe Uccello, and tonight we preview La Blanquiroja in our 2019 Copa America preview series, Peru, as they take on everyone in the 2019 Copa America. Joining me, as always, my co-host, Mr. Roberto Rojas, and special guest from NBC Telemundo, Diego Montalvan. Thank you, gentlemen, both for joining me tonight. Diego, I'm going to start off with you and ask you about your ties to Peruvian football.
Thank you for having me. I was born in Peru. So, you know, just growing up, my father, my grandfather always instilled and pushed it on me. You know, you got to watch La Blanquiroja. You have to support La Blanquiroja. And so that's how it all started.
You know, I'm just going to jump in real quick because it's kind of an interesting question. And you know, it's been nice to see Peru back on the top stage of world football, especially in South America. You know, to look at the celebrations from you and a lot of Peruvians that we know go to a World Cup after 36 years. I mean, I would have to ask here, Diego, what has been the vibe now currently in Peru, especially coming off of qualifying for a World Cup after 36 years and now heading into this particular Copa America? You know, are they much more confident than they were back then, or how has the vibe been so far over there in Peru?
Well, first, you know, I feel like we've been obviously ecstatic of making it back to the World Cup, because I feel like we've always been able, or we've always had some talent. We just couldn't do it. But definitely more confident, more hopeful. And I feel that the vibe has been great. The vibe has been great. I mean, everyone's really, really excited for the upcoming Copa America just because of what we've been doing, the process that Ricardo Gareca has had with the Peruvian national team has been great. So that's why everyone's hopeful of what we can do this upcoming Copa America.
That leads me into my next question, because you mentioned the name that I wanted to talk to you about, and that is Ricardo Gareca. We want to look at the plan for Gareca. He's one of the few managers that is actually not new to the side that he's coaching, having been retained since the success of getting to the 2018 World Cup. So moving forward with Gareca, what is his primary focus on this team moving through this tournament?
Moving through this tournament, I feel like we have to keep moving forward from what we've been doing in Copa America. If you look back at the previous Copa Americas, Peru, well, the Centenario, we lost in the quarterfinals, and then before that, the last two in the semi, and we got third place. So we need to move past that, make it to the finals.
So now heading into, I guess, the all-important thing is the group. And, you know, you look at the group and how important it always for all these teams to get on the right foot. Peru have quite an interesting group in this one, you know. Going in order, they take on Venezuela in Porto Alegre on the 15th to kick off the tournament. Then they take on Bolivia 3 days later in Rio de Janeiro. And then finish it off with the host and, you know, one of the, if not the favorite, in Brazil. Now, Joe, I'll go to you here first because I think we could always say, and, you know, we don't know what these type of tournaments could indeed happen, especially now in South America, but you would think that Brazil would be considered the favorite to win the group. But now it's a battle between Venezuela and Peru, and even Bolivia, if they could cause a shock. But, you know, for all intents and purposes, you would think that Venezuela and Peru are among the favorites to qualify, you know, either in second or third for that battle. You have to look at these two perspectives. You look at a young Venezuelan side that has been resurging, that has been really been evolving and done very, very well, despite not qualifying for the World Cup. And you have this Peruvian side who's obviously rejuvenated and that did make the World Cup. You know, how important is that first game, I think, for Peru, you know, to get on the right foot and to really take advantage of getting, you know, essentially qualification for the next round?
Well, I think it's massive because this is, you know, when we look at how teams advance through this tournament, we look at the top two teams obviously automatically moving on to the knockout stage, and the third place team possibly moves in. So there's a situation here where we feel that Brazil is almost a given, you know, obviously playing at home, they're bringing a huge quality side to this tournament. Another one of those teams that's returning their coach. So now we look at Venezuela or Peru as being one of the other two teams to automatically qualify. So this is this head-to-head is massive because the other team, the team that loses, is going to have to find points in the other two matches so that they can advance into this tournament, you know, and stay in that third place spot. Bolivia is not going to necessarily be a pushover, but we would certainly agree, I think, the three of us, that of the four teams, Bolivia would be the weakest. So this is the point in the tournament, and unfortunately, it's right up front for Peru and for Venezuela, that this is where they need to maximize the opportunity, because you would expect both teams to probably turn over Bolivia, and then it's going to be a matter of how they survive Brazil. I think, looking ahead in the schedule, I think it shapes up better for Peru than Venezuela, just because when Brazil hits that last match against Peru in Sao Paulo on the 22nd, they run into a situation where Brazil may have already been qualified, maybe rest a player because these games are in quick succession. They may decide to rest some players, and maybe Peru sneaks out a draw and sneaks out that extra point that they need, Rob. So for me, I would say that, you know, massive opportunity here up front, and something that Peru should look to maximize when they face Venezuela on the 15th in Porto Alegre. I want to throw that over to you, Diego, real quick, and get your thoughts on the group.
Absolutely agree with you on the fact that I think the Venezuela game is the most important for Peru, just because of the unknown. I think because Venezuela has been getting better and better under Dudamel and the project that they had, mm-hmm. and so it worries me to not know which Venezuela is going to show up. Is it going to be a great Venezuela side that's been doing great, or is it going to be the old Venezuelan side that, you know, had many countries beat them, not easily, but beat them. Mm-hmm. And so the first match is I believe the most important. And like you said, I agree with you, Bolivia. I think all three teams can and will beat Bolivia unless if they cause a shock. But then obviously Brazil, we are lucky in the fact that Peru has to face Brazil, in the last match, having already possibly qualified. So I do think Peru has a good chance. And based on their history in Copa America, I think they'll be making it out of the group stage.
I agree with you, to be honest. Let's move on and look at some of the players to watch. And obviously, much of the goal scoring for this particular team comes from two players, 34-year-old Jefferson Farfán and 35-year-old Paulo Guerrero. You know, we've seen Raul Ruiz Diaz coming up with the Seattle Sounders. We've seen him kind of improve his game. But you can't expect a 34-year-old and a 35-year-old to keep up pace to be able to score these goals that they're going to need to advance in this tournament. Where will Peru get their goals from if they don't get them from Farfán and Guerrero?
Well, I'm hoping that Edison Flores and that Andre Carrillo and even Christian Cuevas add some goals in there. Edison Flores Orejas, as we call him, he's been very good at making those runs into the box and getting those rebound goals. Andre Carrillo, man, when he's on his game, he's filthy, and he can cut up anybody and shoot against anybody, but he just needs to keep that confidence. And then Cueva just, he always has that final through ball for them. So I'm hoping mostly from Carrillo and Flores.
You know, I want to expand a little more, and I want to go to you, Rob, on this one, because obviously it's no secret. My favorite player on this team is Christian Cueva. I want to know what Cueva can do differently in this tournament that we haven't seen him do before, that we didn't see him do in the friendly against Paraguay in New York. What other dimension can Cueva bring to this match?
I think certainly the type of player as him that he could be is kind of that silent assassin. I think when you look at him, he's not the tallest player. He's like 5'7", but he's so creative, so quick. You know, the fact that he could perhaps control a compact, pragmatic side that Gareca wants to get. I think if the ball is given to him and he could play it off to one of the strikers, I feel that it will very, very serve him well. And could be a dangerous player in this Copa America, not just for Peru, but I think in the tournament in general. I think he's one of the players that has to be the one to watch for Peru. And I'm really excited to see what he goes. I mean, Diego, do you agree, or do you feel that perhaps there's another even more important player, unlike Cueva, that is able to you know, be under the skin of those type of players that they're facing?
No, I can agree with you on that. I think Cueva can bring everything that you said. The only thing that I think or that I who I feel will be more important is Paulo Guerrero right now.
Right. No, absolutely. So just looking into the predictions real quick, you know, we look at these type of tournaments as one where the teams will have to prepare for the World Cup. And essentially, that's how we've kind of seen it. I think with the big example was against when Chile won the Copa Americas but failed to do so to qualify for the World Cup. So, you know, what are your expectations for Peru, you know, and what do you think of Ingareca's future for this team? You know, what is he looking to build off from this Copa America, given what you've been hearing over there?
Right. I think the expectations is to make it to another semifinals at least. Based on what Peru has been doing in previous Copa Americas, and then to move forward from that, obviously, Gareca right now is concentrating on building up our player pool. You know, we've had a great core of players, and I think we have a very very solid starting 11. And little by little, I feel like we've been getting better players coming off the bench. But he still wants more, and I agree. We need more. We need that competition, and so that's his next project or process, if we must.
You know, you bring up a great point. I want to look at the midfield real quick before we run on to some other predictions, because this is a midfield that is pretty deep, and Gareca has really utilized this midfield extensively. He hasn't really rested on one particular player, at least from what I've seen. Obviously, the appearance leader is going to be Yoshimar Yotun, who has 29. He's 29 years old, but has 85 appearances. But we talked about Cueva already. Who else lines up in this midfield, and how many changes will Gareca make to this midfield moving forward in the tournament?
I think as you mentioned, Yoshimar Yotun is a central a pivotal point for us. I think alongside him will stay Renato Tapia from Willem. Mm-hmm. And then right above them, I think Edison Flores, Cristian Cueva, and Andre Carrillo will be the starters.
Okay. So moving forward now, we want to look forward to the tournament for this team. Given that this team, the massive high that they came off of, you know, qualifying for the World Cup, and I believe it was 32 years or something like that,
36.
Oh, 36. That's right. I know we talked about it last year. What are the expectations of this team in this particular tournament? Where do you think they will finish?
Realistically, I want to say as a fan and as someone that's trying to be objective, I think we have a team that can make it to the semis.
Okay. And that would be pretty impressive, especially given, you know, one, given the field, you know, obviously Argentina, Brazil, you know, Chile's, two-time defending champion. Colombia is really, really good. Ecuador is going to be upcoming. Venezuela, who they're going to have to face right off the bat, is going to be certainly a challenging team. So there's, you know, and then you bring in Japan, the Asian champions in Qatar. I mean, there's a lot of competition in this particular tournament. So semifinals would for me, be quite impressive, don't you think?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I just think based on what other countries are going through, whether it's, having new coaches and whatnot. I think because Peru has already been in a process for so long now with Gareca, that the players by now know what he wants, you know, at least the core players know what he wants, and the new players hopefully bringing something new or bringing something extra for Gareca. So I think you know, just based on, like I said, the history that we've had in the previous Copa Americas, I think that that's a good point to go to.
I agree, and you know, you look at the teams that are returning coaches. You know, Brazil is going to be tough to beat. We talk about Uruguay; all returning coaches are going to be tough to beat. This is, I think, this team is at an advantage because they're returning their coach, and because the team is familiar with what the coach wants. That this is going to be one of those dangerous teams, one of those teams that could turn an upset against, let's say, an Argentina or or somebody like that. They could, or even turn over in Uruguay. You never know. I think this is the danger team in this entire tournament. I think you know what you get out of Uruguay. You know what you get out of Brazil. This Peruvian side is the one that I think everyone needs to be aware of, because I think this is the one that can all of a sudden face Colombia in a quarterfinal and go boom, and then just win a 2-1 victory over them because of the familiarity with the players and the familiarity between the players and the head coach. So looking forward to that, and to that end, if this team did overturn a couple of big names and a couple of big teams in this tournament and managed to lift the trophy, especially coming off the high of qualifying for the 2018 World Cup, what would this mean to the people and to the players in Peru to raise this title?
Oh, man. I think I might cry again. I don't know. It'd be something so great, you know, because of the suffering that we've had to go through, I guess, mm-hmm. to get to a World Cup after 36 years. And then the stuff that we dealt with Paulo Guerrero, like it would be a great ending to like a movie.
Right. And you think about it, they haven't won this title in 44 years.
Right.
So it would be a massive, massive, undertaking. So, gentlemen, I do want to thank you both for joining me tonight and helping me break down Peru as they do make the journey to the Copa America. Hopefully, Diego, for you, to the Copa America final. So
yes.
for Diego Montalvan, so for Roberto Rojas, I am Joe Uccello. Thank you for listening and good night.